Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week six of the NFL season, and it is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Show comes to you each and every week thanks to these great sponsors: Rough Swings and Sports Bar, the United States Marine Corps, ACC Midwest Transportation, and West Central Trophies. Let's talk, let's introduce, it's a two-headed show once again this week, but we love doing it, and we're happy to bring it to you. Go ahead, Lyle.
Lyle Dickman in Litchfield, Minnesota, and unfortunately I came up on the wrong end of a couple high-scoring affairs with Travis Etienne and DJ Moore scoring 90 points against me in the Loon League last week. It was over before it started. I was I checked my lineup Sunday morning, and I had a 10% chance of winning.
That's
always
tough.
Fun when that happens.
Tough to come back from. I had myself a nice week last week thanks to Jamar Chase and, I believe, 55 points. But we're finally coming back after an 0-2 start. We're back to 3-2 in the Loon League. But the problem is I'm still fourth of six in my division, still hurting from the Raheem Mostert trade I made to Justin. Yikes. Anyway, for the next hour, Lyle and I are going to be talking about everything in the world of fantasy football. All we want to do is help you win your league. So here's a way to get a hold of us. If you've been listening to the Loon much over the last week and a half, we are having text line problems, but we can still be reached. All you have to do is get that free 94.1 The Loon app. Right down in the lower right-hand corner, there's a little blue button that looks like a message. You can message the studio direct through that, and the app is free. You can put it on a tablet. You can put it on your smartphone. We don't collect data. We don't know how to do that, so I promise everything is going to be okay. Let's talk about the ACC Midwest Transportation injury report, and I'll try and burn through this because, oh boy, there's a lot of them. Tony Pollard, little shoulder injury. He should play this week. Roschon Johnson, who is a hot pickup this week, he didn't practice Wednesday and Thursday. He's unlikely to clear concussion protocol. He might be out week six. Austin Eckler returns this week. Saquon Barkley sat week five. He's probably 70%. He should be okay for this week. Mike Evans has a history of hamstring injuries, but he looks promising for this week. Jahmyr Gibbs, hamstring injury late in week five. He's going to need some more weeks. He is probably out week six. Deshaun Watson, I don't know what the hell is going on there. It looks like he might be out again this week. We'll talk about that later. Anthony Richardson, oh boy, probably an AC sprain. He's on IR. Justin Jefferson is on IR. Devon Achan is on IR. He might be out longer than the 4 weeks for sure. Dan Jones, new neck injury. Good luck next year. There's so many better options than him right now. Aaron Jones, he should be okay for this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like he's back on the practice field and should play this week. Khalil Herbert going to probably go out on the IR. T. Higgins, rib fracture, might return this week. I don't know. Chris Olave, injured toe in warmups. He's going to play, but it's going to affect his performance a little bit. Justin Herbert, little middle finger action going on. He'll play. Kyler Murray could return in week seven or eight, but I'm not sure the Cardinals want to rush him back. Cooper Kupp, of course, on the field, had a very nice week last week. Bills, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, both tight ends. Kincaid's in concussion protocol, probably not going to play. Knox will probably suit up, but of course, watch everything tomorrow morning to find out more. Lyle, you and I both admitted the Thursday night game, we really didn't tune in too much to. This Chiefs team, though, clearly, you know, the Chiefs beating the Broncos, this Chiefs team is kind of digging for every single win this year. Are they a contender just because of Mahomes, or are they a little flat this year? Your thoughts?
I think everybody has had the same idea that his weapons aren't the same. I mean, they got rid of Tyreek Hill last year, and everybody was wondering whether they could win without Tyreek, and they did. But they also had some more competent receivers that I think were professionals, you know, Smith-Schuster, and I know they still have Valdes-Scantling, but when he is one of your top options,
right,
they are in trouble if Kelce is really banged up. So they can run the ball. Pacheco is a solid option. They've got McKinnon, but the weapons just aren't the same. And so they are pretty much hoping Mahomes can lead them. There's really no other plan, because I don't know if they have a clear-cut number one receiver on this team. It might be Rashee Rice by the end of the season, but not, and for fantasy purposes, I've invested a little bit on his end, but at this point, he's not really a regular starter for fantasy yet. So I know it's for fantasy purposes, but I think the Chiefs really do need to have one of those guys emerge, or they're going to have a hard time passing the football when teams really can focus on Kelce.
Totally agree with everything you said. Rashee Rice has to be the number one fantasy option. Sky Moore's been invisible. Kadarius Toney, I guess I expected a whole lot more out of him. And
he did get a touchdown last night, but
yeah. Yeah, but exactly. And the drops, and then what Justin Ross, I think, is on that squad too. And he was, I think he was a big player out of Clemson and had an injury issue, but nothing's happening there. And I don't know, man, I don't know. But the Chiefs are the Chiefs because of Mahomes. And that was a scary little injury with Travis Kelce in that Vikings game, but clearly he's all right. 124 yards Thursday night. Yeah. What do you do? Well, we're going to come back and we are going to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. Also on the show, we're going to have waiver wires, the United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors, and also Trenchum and Benchum. We're going to talk about the remaining games for week 6 of the NFL season. Go get that free 94.1 The Loon app. And again, in that lower right-hand corner, just press that button and you can message us right in the studio if you've got any stardom, sit-em, injury, anything like that that we can help you out with. It's a fantasy football foursome on The Loon. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Want to talk about our friends over at West Central Trophies. They are the guys who brought us the Lombardi Trophy that we are all fighting for every single year in fantasy football. And you can see it right here in our Uptown Wilmer location. We proudly display it. It's got the names of all the winners. And Havemeyer, who is not on the show today, will remind you any chance he can get that his name is the only one engraved twice on it. But good for him. Anyway, westcentraltrophies.com. If you're looking for a special trophy for your fantasy football league, tell you what, Nathan and the gang over there have it is an unbelievable amount of custom-made items that you can have. And hardware is a lot more fun when you're playing fantasy football. Something to brag about. Go to westcentraltrophies.com, a great local business right here in Wilmer. And it's time to talk daily fantasy, Lyle. There are some plays out there that I really like and some that are head scratchers. But anyway, let's talk about a couple quarterbacks on your radar this week.
Well, it looks like Gardner Minshew is going to be taking over for Indianapolis for a couple weeks here. And I think first and foremost, for $5,000, I would play Gardner Minshew against a decent Jacksonville defense. But when he has played, it's been a volume thing and he's played well. And he's actually had to spell Richardson a couple times. So I'd play him. And if you're looking for a little more medium-priced guy, I'd go Jared Goff. $6,400. It's at Tampa Bay. He's averaging 20 fantasy points for the season. He's gone to 27 points twice already this year. I think Goff's definitely a worthy play with a Lions offense that's starting to click.
Yeah, I was going to throw out some Gardner Minshew, too, and it makes me laugh every time I see or hear his name, and especially when I hear it on the show, Lyle. There was a year, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, when all of us were saying, you got to go out and get Gardner Minshew, draft him, you're going to love him. And boy, he was awful. Anyway, I agree with you this week. I like that play a lot at 5,000. I don't mind some Jimmy Garoppolo at 5,300. Why? Because he's playing against, first of all, revenge game for him and Jacoby Myers and Josh McDaniel. They're going up against New England. So $5,300. I think there's a pretty decent ceiling in that game. I like Matthew Stafford at $6,100 against Arizona. And if you're a gambler and you want the gambler's play of the year, and I mean the gambler's play of the year, $4,000 gets you PJ Walker, who's probably going to be starting in Cleveland against the Niners. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's a gamble. I will tell you this. He will not start on any of my teams this week. How about a couple running backs, Lyle? What do you got?
Well, this one kind of was a head-scratcher for me. Raheem Mostert is only $6,400 against the bad Carolina run defense. I know Miami's been running the ball with a committee, and now that they're down Achan, they're going to mix some other guys in. I know that. So Mostert's not going to get all the touches, but he's fantasy running back number one, isn't he? And he's only 6,400, so I think right away you got to have him in your lineup. And I'm rolling dice a little bit with this Keontae Ingram. I think he's going to be the one that ends up playing at least the lion's share of the snaps for Arizona, and he's at $4,500. It's a decent run defense that the Rams have, but at $4,500, if you get 15 touches out of Ingram, I think those will pay off for you.
I agree with you. Mostert was the first thing that I highlighted on my sheet at $6,400. You got to be kidding me. I think he's kind of the set it and forget it guy on all lineups. And I'm looking, Lyle. I can't even find him. I'm sure I could if I had enough time. But Deonta Foreman, whatever he goes for, is probably going to be a play this week. Roschon Johnson was the other guy I had down. I don't think he's going to clear concussion protocol. Herbert's out. The Vikings can't stop the run. So look at Deonta Foreman, and I should have my DraftKings up in here. I don't. I think the play that I really like this week, too, is David Montgomery at 7,300 against Tampa Bay. Yeah, I know the sky is blue, but I think you got to figure out how to get him in some lineups, too. He has just been nothing short of exceptional for fantasy value this year, David Montgomery has. What are you thinking for wide receivers this year or this week?
Well, Foreman's at $4,400, and Montgomery, I mean, he might be a running back. Like, he might be the steal of the draft.
I agree so with far. You, 100%.
Receivers, real deep, Josh Downs. I'm going to pair him with Minshew. He had a pretty good game last week. He's had multiple games where he's had like double-digit targets, I believe, and he's $4,100 at Jacksonville. I'm pairing him for sure. If you're going with a Minshew lineup, I think Downs is a great bargain. And then I'm going with the two Viking receivers, KJ Osborne. He's at $4,400. I know he hasn't done much, but with Jefferson out, you know they're going to involve him more in the passing game. And same with Jordan Addison. And he's at $5,700. So I think both those guys are solid plays. I don't know if I'd play both in a lineup, but and if I had to pick, I'd go Addison over Osborne. But I think both could be great plays this week against a Bears defense that really is not very good.
Yeah, you picked two of mine. And, you know, we like to throw out value here. Of course, start Jamar Chase. Of course, start Tyreek Hill. But if you're going to start Chase and Hill or, you know, Marquise Brown, who I think is also a good value this week, is 5,300, or Cooper Kupp, or some of these big guys, you've got to have some of these smaller guys. I love Osborne. I love Downs for the value. Another guy I really like this week is Robert Woods. Tank Dell, I think, is out this week in Houston. C.J. Stroud is a real-life NFL quarterback. The kid can play ball. Robert Woods coming in at $3,800, the wily veteran. And if you've got a little bit more money to spend, the guy seems to be quarterback-proof, and that is Adam Thielen against Miami. They're going to have to throw. We know that. Miami could be up 56-0 at halftime, so they're going to have to throw. And Adam Thielen is just catching the ball like a madman. $5,900 seems like a bargain. I think there's a huge ceiling if things work out well there. How about some tight ends, Lyle?
Again, you know, Hockenson seems like he's at the top of the list. So if you've got the money, again, spend it there. Or I would probably say Laporta, Sam Laporta with Detroit. I know that he's got a little questionable tag, but it sounds like he's going to play. Those are the high-end guys, though. If you're going to look a little bargain bin, I'm going Logan Thomas, $3,500. Came off he had an injury, missed a week in week three, it looks like, but then bounced back with a big week against Chicago. Mm-hmm. He's had, I think, two games where he's had 8 and 11 targets. He's found the end zone a couple times. And for $3,500, I mean, he's like probably tight end 10 or 12 on that list.
Yeah. I'm still not certain why Zach Ertz is $3,600. But there's always a ceiling there. The problem is the guy catches the ball and just falls down. So the floor is pretty low too. No doubt about it. But for $3,600, I mean, what are you asking for? If I have a little bit more money to spend, it's probably Evan Ingram at $4,500. I don't know. You know, he's last week 4 for 28 against the Bills, averaging 7 yards a catch. He had 8 targets, you know, 6 points. But in weeks prior to that, he had 12, 13, and 11 points. And $4,500, I also think you know, Indianapolis, we've talked about it. Their defense is not very good, at least at defending receivers and tight ends. So, you know, it's a gamble play. I don't know what else you're expecting out of a tight end that you're paying $4,500 or $3,600 for. How about some defenses, Lyle?
I'm going to go with Honolulu Blue, Detroit Lions. Yeah. $2,700 against Tampa. And I was just looking through their game log. They've cracked double digits twice, a 9-point game, a 7-point game. They've been solid against even teams like Kansas City. So the matchup's not great, but they're towards the bottom of the list on DraftKings. So put them in, $2,700.
Yeah, and I can't believe I had it down, but the Vikings versus the Bears, $3,000 for the Vikings defense. And the punt play, I had just talked about him a little bit earlier. Patriots against Jimmy G and the Raiders. Jimmy Garoppolo is not very good. And maybe Belichick can get the troops together. And I don't know. All I want is 5-6 points. I'd love to have 10. But if I want 5 to 6 points, I think I can bet on Belichick maybe doing something with Jimmy Garoppolo. Ugh, I can't believe I just said that. Yeah, put your money in the big players and let's not worry too much about defense this week. All right, Lyle and I are going to come back and we are going to talk United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. Thanks for tuning in this morning to the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome Week 6 edition. And again, if you've been listening either to the show or to the loon for last week and a half, we're having some text line issues, hoping to have that taken care of in the next week. We will see. But anyway, you can still reach the studio. Just grab that free 94.1 The Loon app on your iPhone or your Android device or your tablet or whatever. And in that lower right-hand corner, you'll see a blue circle that looks like a text message type thing. Just push it and send us a message, and we will get that in studio if we can help you out in any way, shape, or form with your fantasy football lineups. All right, United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors with some substantial injuries this week. I see a lot of stuff going on out there. But let's start with quarterback, Lyle. What are you seeing for week 6?
I still just cannot believe that Jared Goff is not owned in more leagues. On ESPN leagues, he is available in 43% of leagues. So that would be my starter. I would pick him up not only just to have him, but probably to start. He's going to be a top 12 quarterback the rest of the way. The Lions are one of the highest scoring teams. You want a piece of this offense, and if you can get the leader of it, go and do that. If you're looking for a bye week kind of replacement or something, I could lean on Matthew Stafford this week. He has been pretty ordinary thus far, but he does have Cooper Kupp back. They have Nacua. They can run the ball with Kyren Williams. They're playing a pretty ordinary Arizona defense. So I think for a one-week plug-and-play, I could go Matthew Stafford.
I like the Stafford call. That would have been my number one as well. I agree with you wholeheartedly on the Jared Goff thing. And maybe people are just rostering one quarterback. I tend to do that, so maybe that's the case. And another one that I enjoy as a gambler, and I start him every week in two quarterback leagues, is Sam Howell. 25 points last week against the lowly Bears, but he had 19 against Philadelphia, 21 against Denver. He should do that. This week he's up against Atlanta, who has a sneaky good defense. The guy takes sacks. That's the biggest problem with Sam Howell. But I don't know. Again, maybe you're not starting Kenny Pickett in any leagues, but maybe you're starting Jordan Love. Those are the people on bye this week. I love Sam Howell, but then again, I also love gambling a little bit as well. Baker Mayfield, if you're in a deeper league this week, he's up against Detroit. And again, we know their defense is good, but we also know he's going to have to throw the ball a lot to in order to win this game. So I don't know. Again, deeper league plays, but I love Sam Howell in two quarterback leagues. One of my favorites. How about running backs, Lyle?
I think we talked about him in DFS, but he's a worthwhile pickup, especially for just this week. Dont'a Foreman for Chicago. It looks like their backfield is really banged up, and he is going to be at least at the top of the list. Maybe he has to fight off some Travis Homer on the field. I'm not sure. He's also questionable. But I think if you're looking for volume, I think Foreman's your guy, and he is definitely available in, looks like, about 85% of leagues. So might have to wait to sort things out, but and see exactly who's suiting up for the Bears. But at this point, Foreman's the pickup.
Yeah, Foreman, and I had such a bad bench in one league, Lyle, that I picked up both Foreman and Roschon Johnson. I think Johnson is going to be the starter, but he's got a clear concussion protocol, and you know, he'll be the starter next week as long as he clears. Here's another name for you, Amari DiMercato. And Connor, James Connor is out, and it looks like DiMercato is going to be getting the starts there. And it's either DiMercato or it's going to be Keontae Ingram. Well, here's the problem. Keontae Ingram just isn't good at football. He just isn't. He hasn't been good anywhere he's been. So even though DiMercato is like an undrafted guy, well, I think he's going to step into the role. I don't know if it's going to be by committee or not. And I'm also stunned that Tajay Spears is available in 62% of leagues. He's almost got flex value during looks like Tennessee's kind of holding off a little bit on Derrick Henry, and for good reason. I don't know how much tread is left on those tires, but Tajay Spears is getting carries, he's getting snaps, and he's also probably the most valuable handcuff in fantasy football. So he should be rostered. I think he should be rostered in 95% of leagues, but that's just me. Lastly, Justice Hill, if you want a boring Baltimore running back who has pretty much the same ceiling and floor, and you need 7 points, Justice Hill will probably get it for you. He's available in 68% of leagues. How about wide receivers, Lyle?
Love the Spears call, and he's available in 60% of leagues. Ah. Receivers, the Viking guys, if for some reason, I know we're Minnesota-based, so KJ Osborne's probably owned in a lot of leagues where maybe he shouldn't have been the first couple weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. If he's, for some reason, sitting out on your waiver wire, you got to scoop him up. But I'll go even a step deeper. Brandon Powell. The Vikings have been doing a lot of three wide receiver sets, and if they are going to continue doing that, yep, Brandon Powell is going to be on the field, and he is someone that it could be stashed in a real deep league. I think he will get at least 40, 50 snaps in this game.
The silence is because I just couldn't believe what I saw. You and I have plugged him a lot over the last few weeks, Lyle. Josh Downs in Indianapolis, the clear number two out there. He's available in 70% of leagues. Curtis Samuel's available in 73% of leagues. He's gotten 18 points the last 2 weeks, 18 and 18. Josh Palmer, the next guy up after Mike Williams goes down, is available in over 50% of leagues. Josh Reynolds, you talk Lions and you want to have a part of their offense. Josh Reynolds is available in 70% of leagues. It makes you wonder just how, if people don't have deep benches or what's going on. And if you were in a really deep league, and I mean really deep, 16 or more, try Chase Claypool. Maybe he's a stash. I don't know. You know, everybody on Miami can get a little banged up a little quick. And Chase Claypool, who was just traded to Miami, is available in 91% of leagues. And the part that nobody wants to hear, Lyle, tight ends for week six.
Yeah, it's never good. Logan Thomas is one I've brought up. Yeah. He's been available just because he missed the game recently, but I think he got scooped up pretty quickly after that 20-point week. It's, you know, I'd hate to say Jonnu Smith, but that's taking an Atlanta tight end, and that means Kyle Pitts is down there too. So, but Smith has outperformed him. So I guess if you're looking for a safe, like maybe 4 or 5 catches, 50 yards, something like that, which at tight end right now, if you can get 10 points, you take it and run. So he might be able to provide that for you. And those are it. I mean, there's really even, you know, Jake Ferguson, I don't know. Those are the kinds of guys that are going to be out there. I mean, Hunter Henry, but he had a zero last week.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to like just say this is going to be the guy. You really are just praying that any of these guys get a touchdown. And if you get a touchdown out of one of them, it's fantasy gold.
I, once again, agree with everything you said. Logan Thomas would probably be my first choice. I did pick up Jake Ferguson in a league. Maybe it's just time to talk about how good Sam Laporta is right now. Jeepers. And when you can find that tight end that you don't have to screw around with and you can just set it and forget it, how good that feels. When you have a Kelsey, you have an Andrews, or this year you have a Laporta, that's how that's been going. The only other name I guess I'd throw out there is Dawson Knox in Buffalo. He's got a wrist injury, but it looks like Kincaid is going to be a no-go, which means Knox is probably going to get more of the snaps than ever. Boy, that's a lot of talk about tight end. That's a lot of talk about places where you're actually happy when you get 5 or 6 points. Oof. Ugh. Streaming defenses, Lyle.
You know, I know you like the Minnesota defense when we're talking DFS. If I was going to go one, I might go the Chicago defense. Mm-hmm. And they have been bad, but you also have to realize the Vikings have turned the ball over 12 times in 5 weeks. If they keep this pace up, they're going to turn it over once, twice, maybe three times. That's fantasy points right there. And it's not like the Vikings have been scoring a lot of points either. They're only the Bears have been outscoring them this year.
Yeah.
Put that into perspective. So, and everybody seems to think the Vikings are going to win this game. So I like the Chicago defense a little more than I do the Viking defense this week.
Yeah, I understand that take too. I have, and I know I talked about the New England defense in DFS, but you could also pick up and stream the Raiders defense against New England this week. They're available in 80% of leagues. I mean, I'm a little scared. One of my leagues, Lyle, I've got the Browns, who have an awesome defense, like the number two defense. Who are they going against? Well, the number one offense. So I'm actually nosing around thinking I might get some more points somewhere else. And that might be a Raiders team against New England this week. The Vikings, yeah, the Falcons take on the Washington Commanders. That might be a decent play this week. And the Falcons, like I said earlier, they've got a sneaky, decent defense. So there are some options out there, but I do like, I like the Lions. I don't know. There's a lot of good options out there for defense this week, because boy, when we get to Trenchum and Benchum, Lyle, there are some good games and there are some rotten games this week in the NFL. So anyway, that said, we will come back and we're going to talk Trenchum and Benchum, talk about all the remaining games for week 6. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome. Final segment today of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Hey, if there's any way we can help you with your lineups or trade opportunities or waiver wire, anything like that, you got to go get that free 94.1 The Loon app. And then in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a blue circle that looks like a message dot. Well, that's exactly what it is. Push that, and then you can send a message right to the studio, hoping to have this text thing figured out here very soon. It is time for Trenchum and Benchum. On bye this week, we've only got two teams. That's Green Bay and Pittsburgh. And once again, Lyle, we've got London football. This time, though, it does not involve the Jacksonville Jaguars. Baltimore, Tennessee, what do you got?
Well, I watched Baltimore last week, and I felt bad for Lamar Jackson. He threw the ball beautifully last week, and I believe his receivers dropped 7, including 3 potential touchdowns. So if you had a Lamar Jackson week where you're a little disappointed in the numbers, you know where the blame belongs. Lamar, you're still starting him. He's definitely a top quarterback. Zay Flowers is his number one target. He's not a wide receiver one in terms of fantasy, but he's a solid wide receiver 3 or flex, I think, at this point. Mark Andrews is a must-start tight end. Then you get to the running game. Gus Edwards and Justice Hill are kind of a ordinary committee. I'd lean Edwards over Hill, but I think they're both flexy plays, sexy flexy plays at best. I'm definitely playing this Baltimore defense, though. On the Tennessee side, I'm not playing Ryan Tannehill. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Derrick Henry, you're playing every week. I think Tajay Spears is at least a handcuff, and if not, I think, as you said, maybe a sexy flexy. He's getting 4 or 5 touches in the passing game each week, so that alone gets him some value at PPR. DeAndre Hopkins has really stepped up. He's pretty much their only real passing threat. You're playing Hopkins. I think he's a safe wide receiver, too. I think Treylon Burks is on his way back, but he's not in the lineup yet, so keep him on your benches or maybe even stash him on IR if you can. And that's about it for Tennessee.
Baltimore is favored in the game by 4. Noon games kick off, and Washington, Atlanta is the one I get to break down. Well, I talked about him earlier, Sam Howell. I like Sam Howell. I like the gunslinging mentality of Sam Howell. The Commanders are 2-3, kind of quietly. He's pretty good. As far as if you want to take a gamble, and again, if you're a Jordan Love starter or something like that, I like Sam Howell, and I do especially like him this week in Atlanta, especially in a dome. Brian Robinson is a running back start every single week. Antonio Gibson, not sure what's happened there. But there has been a little disappointment here with the Washington Commanders wide receiving core. Even though Sam Howell is a gunslinger, you're not getting a ton. You got to start McLaurin every week. I think he's a wide receiver two or three. Jahan Dotson has been nowhere to be found. That has been a real disappointment for managers of his this year. I can talk about that because, well, I am one. But then Curtis Samuel from out of the blue is getting 18 points a week the last 2 weeks. I think you throw him in as a flex play in a dome against Atlanta. Atlanta can defend the wide receivers, so got to be a little careful there. Logan Thomas, we talked about him earlier. I like him this week as well. And in Atlanta, what are we down to here? Bijan, and that's it? I mean, you know, it is kind of a committee there. I actually had to start Tyler Algier last week and got some points out of him. But Bijan, of course, is the superstar. That behind-the-back thing that he did last week was unbelievable. Desmond Ridder is awful. I mean, when is... I know he had a better week last week, but man, you got to start thinking about Taylor Heinicke. Drake London has done nothing for you. Mac Hollins, who? Well, they just traded for Van Jefferson. Okay, why? I don't know. They don't throw the ball that much. Kyle Pitts got you some fantasy value last week. Still hasn't found the end zone yet, and still probably not worthy of where you drafted him. Jonnu Smith, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I don't have a lot of shares of Atlanta Falcons, and Bijan is really the only play to make. Atlanta favored in that game by 2.5 points. Here it is, Lyle. Preview of the NFC Championship, Minnesota Vikings, Chicago Bears.
That it is not, but the loser of this game will have a lot more planning to do, and maybe planning for a future new quarterback, both teams, if they lose this game. One of these teams is going to be 1-5. So the good news is, for fantasy purposes, we got lots of guys to put in the trenches. Kirk Cousins, I think he's quarterback 3 or quarterback 4 in fantasy. You're playing Kirk Cousins. Alexander Mattison, I think he's at number 17 in fantasy for running backs. That makes him a solid RB2. I still think he's going to hold off Cam Akers for most of the carries and most of the touches. So you're playing Madison. Jordan Addison, I was a little surprised by this. He's already up to wide receiver number 26. So without Jefferson, you're absolutely putting Jordan Addison in your trenches. And I think KJ Osborne is a safe, sexy plexi this week as well. And TJ Hawkinson's the must start, even if it's a non-tight end mandatory. You're playing Hawkinson. So I got 5 starts for the Vikings, and I got 4 for the Bears. You're playing Josh Fields. He's basically been as good as anybody in fantasy the last 2 weeks, and I think that's going to continue this week. Even if they don't have a true running back, it looks like it's going to be Donta Foreman. I don't think he's – I think you have to play him, but I wouldn't expect anything more than maybe a flex play for him. DJ Moore is a must start, probably a safe wide receiver too. And in tight end mandatory, you're playing Cole Kmet. I mean, there are not 12 better tight ends than Cole Kmet. Plus, it's a good matchup against the Vikings. That's probably where I draw the line. I'm not playing Darnell Mooney. And I know we talked about both defenses, but I think you can, in general, mostly find better defenses than these two.
43% chance of rain for this game to make it that much better. Minnesota favored by 3 on the road. I think that one surprised me a little bit. I think this next one's going to be a fun game. Seattle versus Cincinnati. Why? Because, well, Cincinnati's back. We'll get to them in a second. Seattle Seahawks, though, Geno Smith is having quietly a pretty decent year. If I look down here, he's on again, off again, by the way this looks. 112 yards, then 328 and 296 yards. And then last week against the Giants, just 110 yards. But, of course, they did beat him 24-3. So what's going to happen against Cincinnati? He's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot more, which means I think he's a safe start this week. Kenneth Walker III, a nice start this week. And oh, by the way, we didn't talk about him. If Zach Charbonnet is on your waiver wire, he's worthy of a roster spot too. DK Metcalf, questionable this week. If he's a go, of course he's a go on your team. Tyler Lockett is also a wide receiver too. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Man, I talked about a disappointment in the last game. I think he's kind of been the same way, just not getting the targets, not getting the receptions. I think there was a lot more hope for him. I'm going to tell you not to start him this week. I'm not into Noah Fant as a tight end. I think you've got better options there. Cincinnati Bengals, though, I think they're a great stack this week in DFS. I like all of them. Starting Burrow, he looks healthy, finally. Mixon, I think he's a running back, too. Chase, you know what to do there. If T. Higgins suits up, you want him out there. Tyler Boyd, all right, that's where we draw the line, and certainly not on Irv Smith Jr. There's a guy who there's nothing happening with Irv Smith Jr. this week. Cincinnati is favored by 2.5 points, 25% chance of rain this week. San Francisco and Cleveland, Lyle.
Yeah, you're pretty much talking about the best team, let alone fantasy team, I think, in football with the San Francisco 49ers. So they're led by Brock Purdy. He's rock solid every week. He's pretty much pencilman for 200, 250 yards and 2 touchdowns. Unless he's really whooping up on your Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But Purdy's pretty solid here, so I think he's a top 12 player this week. So put him in the trenches. Christian McCaffrey must start. Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. It's every week. These are guys that you are counting on. Put them in your lineup. If Elijah Mitchell suits up, you might even be able to get some garbage time use out of him and maybe play him as a sexy flexi. And of course, play the defense because they are playing a Cleveland Browns team that. It's looking like they're not going to have Deshaun Watson again. What's going on with Watson? Is he going to play at all?
No idea.
To play.
Normally, when people sit like this, Lyle, they sit because of contract problems. That's not the case with Watson, so I have no idea.
But anyway, even if he was playing, I don't think I would play many Browns, but they're going with P.J. Walker. You're not playing him. Jerome Ford, I think you're playing him out of necessity. He's had 19 carries the last 2 weeks and produced 44 yards, and he's going up against a great San Francisco defense. So this is not a good matchup. But I think it's a volume play. I think you're going to just count on him getting his 15 touches, and hopefully he can find a way into the end zone for you. So he's a back-end RB2, I'd say, for me. And Amari Cooper, with Walker at quarterback, I don't know what to expect. Cooper's had 2 really good weeks, but he's also had 2 clunkers. So downgrade him. Hopefully you can use him as more of a wide receiver 3 or a flex play this week. And that's probably it. Even though Cleveland's defense is good, I don't think I'm touching any other part of this Browns team.
Good stat here for you, Lyle. I heard this today. Brock Purdy is the 35th highest paid backup quarterback in the NFL. 35th. That kid is something else. 65% chance of rain. San Francisco favored by 7. That must be something about the Browns defense. Anyway, New Orleans, Houston. I can make this quick. In New Orleans, you're starting Alvin Kamara. You're starting Chris Olave. He's not at 100%, but I think he's a safe start. Michael Thomas is catching a few balls this year. That's kind of nice. He's maybe a flex play if you need him this week. Rashid Shaheed, that's, again, where it stops. Juwan Johnson has been a total failure, and I hyped him all draft season long. Over to Houston, C.J. Stroud is really having a nice year for fantasy football. Yes, the Texans are 2-3, but this kid's good. Damian Pierce, not going to expect a lot out of him this week, but I think he's a running back 2 or a flex. And Nico Collins, I like him. Robert Woods is maybe a flex if you're really in trouble. I don't think Tank Dell is suiting up. Dalton Schultz, tight end mandatory start only. New Orleans favored by 1.5 points. Up next for you, Lyle, Indianapolis and Jacksonville.
Yeah, interesting matchup here with Gardner Minshew taking over for the rookie Richardson. We talked about him in DFS. I think he's a much better DFS play than in general for standard football, fantasy football. I probably have him on the bench. He might be a decent DFS play, but just for the value. But in general, I think there's going to be 12 better quarterbacks for this week. That said, Michael Pittman, I think you can play him safely as a wide receiver too. He's been pretty steady this season. And I do like Josh Downs, maybe as a super, as like a wide receiver 3 or a flex. Now, here's the interesting part. Do you play Zach Moss or do you play Jonathan Taylor? Last week, I played Jonathan Taylor and benched Moss. That was the wrong move. This week, I think I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to trust that Taylor is going to be a bigger part of this offense, but I think there could be a case made that Zach Moss could be a flex option for you as well. So I'm going to play them both this week if I have the opportunity. As for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're pretty much trenching all these guys. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, who had a giant week last week. You're definitely putting him in the trenches. Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk, I think they're safe wide receiver two, wide receiver three options for you. Evan Engram had his worst week of the season, but he still scored, I think, 5 or 6 fantasy points for you. At the tight end position, you still got to trot him back out on the field. I probably am going to stay away from both defenses on this one, though. I expect some points to be scored.
Jacksonville favored by 4.5. I get Carolina and Miami. Carolina. Well, boy, that running game in Carolina. You're certainly not starting Bryce Young. The running game in Carolina is non-existent. Miles Sanders has done nothing for you. Chuba Hubbard might be up next because Sanders is hurt. The only thing I'm starting here is Adam Thielen, and I'm starting him with a smile on my face because he is doing the job for you as a slot receiver who is just a target vacuum, and he catches everything thrown around him. So Adam Thielen's a wide receiver too, and I'm more than happy to trot him out there, and that's it. Then over to Miami, where it's a different story. Tua. Mostert. Okay, what's happening now? Is Jeff Wilson coming off the IR? He's still got the tag, but I know he's been practicing. So keep an eye on that, whether it's today or tomorrow. Are they going to take that IR off? If Jeff Wilson goes out there, I like him this week. He's not going to be Achan, but I think it's going to be committee. Mostert does his thing. I think Wilson's going to catch the ball a little bit. I don't mind him one bit. And don't be afraid to look at maybe Salvon Ahmed and Chris Brooks even as maybe if you need bench stashes, nothing wrong with that. You're starting Tyreek Hill. You're starting Jaylen Waddle. They are passing the ball to everybody, but I'm not ready to tell you about Robbie Chosen or Braxton Berrios or anything like that. Just start your Dolphins. Chance of storms, Miami favored by 13.5. Late afternoon games start with this one. Preview of the AFC Championship, Lyle, New England, and the Raiders.
Get a sense of humor today. This one's real simple on the New England side. Mac Jones is not good. And Ramondre Stevenson, who I am an owner of in one of my leagues, has been really struggling. And you would think this would be a decent matchup because Vegas doesn't have a very good defense. But I actually have Stevenson on the bench in my league of record. So I think you can find better options. But, man, if... You know eventually he's going to find a cheap touchdown or something. So I'm waffling on Stevenson. I think you drafted him to play him as probably your RB2. Hopefully you can play him as either your RB3, which is a flex. That would be the best situation for you. And then you're not playing any other New England Patriots. Nope. None of them. As for Vegas, I'm not playing Jimmy G. Looks like Davante Adams has a shoulder injury that's got him questionable, but it sounds like he's going to suit up. And if he does, he's clearly a wide receiver one. And I like Jacoby Myers. Three of the four games he's played, he's had 15-plus fantasy points. So he's safely like a wide receiver three at this point. But I don't think I can play any other Raiders. Well, Josh Jacobs. He is a running back number one. Make sure he's in the trenches.
Raiders favored by 2.5 points. You have to tell me how that game goes. I wouldn't watch that with anybody's eyes. Detroit and Tampa Bay. All right, Detroit. They're called, I heard an analyst call them the Diet Coke of the, if the 49ers were Coca-Cola, the Detroit Lions would be the Diet Coke version. Anyway, you're starting Jared Goff. You're starting David Montgomery. I don't think Gibbs is going out there this week. St. Brown is an animal. Josh Reynolds is a flex play, I think, this week. And Jameson Williams, now activated, he's just not catching the ball, so I don't know what's going on there. Keep an eye on Sam Laporta and his injury issues. If he's going out, you're starting Sam Laporta, of course, I think, even in non-tight end mandatory. Over to Tampa Bay, boy, it's a different story. Baker Mayfield is going to have to throw the ball, but I'm not ready to tell you to trot him out there just yet. Rashad White's been somewhat of a disappointment. If you're in a zero RB situation, maybe throw White out there, but the Lions' defense is good. And Mike Evans is still questionable, but he's a start. If he goes out there, Godwin, maybe a flex. They're going to have to throw the ball, gang. They're going to be behind. There's no doubt about it. Tampa Bay is going to be in trouble in this one. And, that is it. I do like the Lions' defense going back to them. Detroit favored by 3 points. Next game up, Lyle, is Arizona and the Rams.
Yeah, you're trenching a lot of Rams this week. I endorse Stafford as a pickup on waiver wire. I think you can play him. I think he's going to be a top 12 quarterback this week. Kyren Williams, safe. He might be a running back one at this point. He's at least RB2, so put him in the trenches. Cooper Kupp returned to the field. Looked like same old Cooper Kupp. Looks like you got yourself a wide receiver one as long as he can stay on the field. And that means Puka Nacua, maybe the value goes down a little bit, but he's still, I think, a safe wide receiver too. Tutu Atwell, even. I think you could make a case for him as a flex play this week. Tyler Higbee is a must-start and tight end mandatory. That's not saying much about Higbee. It's just saying there aren't many good tight ends out there. As for Arizona, they're still going with Josh Dobbs. They're not quite ready to turn it over to Kyler Murray. So that does make fantasy options a little less appealing. But I was surprised to see that Marquise Brown, he's put up 17, 17, 16, and 16 points the last four in PPR setups. That makes him wide receiver 13. So put him in as your wide receiver two. I think the only other for sure play this week for me is Zach Ertz in tight end mandatory leagues. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to decide if you want to play Amari DiMercato, or if you're going to go with Keonta Ingram. I think you can find better options on out there on your other bench spots or on the waiver wire. So I'm not going to play either one of those guys this week.
Yeah, deep league play only for sure. Rams favored by 7. Philadelphia taking on the New York Jets. And this one, I have heard analysts say that this is a trap game for the Eagles, that they might be looking past this game already. And anyway, doesn't matter. You know the drill. Start your Eagles. Hurts, DeAndre Swift, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith is a flex. Dallas Goedert had himself a nice week. He's a start at tight end. And, of course, you're starting that Philadelphia Eagles of defense because why? Well, they're still playing Zach Wilson. Over to the Jets, Breece Hall has had a nice year for you. Dalvin Cook, I think it's over for Dalvin Cook. There's another disappointment. You can drop Dalvin Cook. And you got to start Garrett Wilson because he's always one play away from getting you 13 points or something like that. So Garrett Wilson, you're trotting out there. Lazard is catching the ball a little bit. But, man, I know Philadelphia's secondary is banged up. Yeah, go ahead and flex Lazard this week. Tyler Conklin, no, thanks. Philadelphia favored by 7 on the road. Sunday night football, Lyle. New York Giants, and they keep getting these big games on TV. New York Giants, Buffalo Bills.
Is there a less exciting offense in football right now than the New York Giants?
New England.
You got me there. Okay, they're the second worst fantasy football offense to watch, especially with no Saquon Barkley. It looks like he's still questionable with his ankle injury. If he plays, of course, you're putting him in lineup, but if he doesn't play, you're not playing Matt Breida or any other running back that Giants are trotting out there. It also looks like it's going to be a Tyrod Taylor week. That doesn't help your fantasy team either. So the only other player you're going to suit up for the Giants is Darren Waller, and he's questionable with a groin injury. So you're going to have to wait till Sunday to even figure out what you're going to do with any of your Giants. And Barkley and Waller, that's it. Buffalo, put all your guys into the trenches. Josh Allen's a must start. James Cook he might be an RB1 by the end of the season. He's a safe RB2, I think. Stephon Diggs is Stephon Diggs. Nothing's changed there. You're playing him as a wide receiver one. Gabe Davis, big play guy. He's actually been quite good this year. I think he's a safe wide receiver three or a flex play. I could go with Dawson Knox, but honestly, I do think there are 12 tight ends out there that are better. I'll keep him on the bench and for sure suit up the Bills defense.
Gabe Davis, just like Marquise Brown, very quiet, having good seasons. You're happy you drafted those guys for sure. Likely rain in the forecast, the only thing to make this Giants offense look better. And Buffalo favored by 14 points. Oof. Monday Night Football, we've got a good one to watch. Dallas taking on the Chargers. Dak Prescott is not Dak Prescott of old. His stat line isn't very good. Dallas has played some weird games this year. They're either way ahead or way behind. They've got some crazy stats that I'm not going to bore you with, but we'll see how it goes this week. I think Dallas is going to be behind. I think Dallas is going to lose this game. Prescott, oh man, you've said it a couple times, Lyle. I do think there's 12 quarterbacks better than Dak Prescott even this week. Tony Pollard, you probably disappointed if you drafted him. He's a volume guy. You got to trot him out there. You drafted him in the second round more than likely. But I think he's a running back one this week. CeeDee Lamb, I'm buying him. I'm all about that. Brandon Cooks has been a disappointment. And Michael Gallup, I'm not ready to throw him out there yet. So not a lot of starts in Dallas. Maybe some Jake Ferguson, but only in a tight end mandatory start. Over to the Chargers, you're starting Herbert. You're starting Eckler. Well, okay, let's go back to the Cowboys. You're starting their defense. You're starting Herbert. You're starting Eckler. You're starting Keenan Allen. I like a flex of Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnson. I think it's going to be a good week for Quentin Johnson this week. And maybe some Gerald Everett, but as Lyle has said, and I just said earlier, there's probably 12 better options. But Gerald Everett, I think this week against Dallas is going to be all right. I think the Chargers are going to have to sling the ball the entire game. And even with a finger injury, I like Herbert holding the ball. It's another revenge game. Kellen Moore coming back or having his team come back who let him go. And, you know, the Chargers have like the number one offense in the NFL. And Mike McCarthy is still calling plays like it's 1967. So anyway, Dallas favored by 2.5. It's the highest over under on the slate at 50.5 points. And that is going to do it for the week 6 edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. We want to thank our sponsors. West Central Trophies, the United States Marine Corps, ACC Midwest Transportation, and Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar. And once again, I'll tell you, if you need to get a hold of us here in the studio, go put that 94.1 The Loon app on your phone, and in the lower right-hand corner, push that chat button, and it comes right to the studio. And if you missed any part of today's show, go to 941theloon.com. For Lyle Dickman, my name is John Jennings. We will see you next week on the Fantasy Football Foursome.